We're live.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the study session of the University City City Council to order at 5:30. We welcome any of our citizens who are here with us either by Zoom or in person. Mr. Rose, as I understand, we have no changes to the regular agenda unless a member of council has a change to the agenda.
Mayor, that is correct.
Hearing no further changes, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, this agenda item asks that council receive a presentation from the Army Corps of Engineers as an update on the River De Pears project. I would ask for Public Works Director Sinan Appleson to introduce this item. Mr. Appleson?
Honorable Mayor Crow, council members, good evening. This item is an update to our council from the Army Corps team with respect to the general evaluation report, re-evaluation report that the team is working on. I have Matt Jones, project manager with the Army Corps study team here to present the item to you.
Hi, good evening. How are you guys doing today?
Great, thank you.
Good. I hope you don't mind me bringing my water up here. I might need it.
We're pretty easy going during the study sessions.
Good. So yeah, most of you guys are familiar with Janet Buchanan, who's the plan formulator. She unfortunately is not feeling very well. She's got an ear infection and she's on a lot of medication. And so I'm your second string presenter. So be easy on me. So we are currently, I guess the last meeting that we presented to you all, we talked with you about our process. We had our TSP milestone meeting, which is our tentatively selected plan milestone meeting. And so we knew that there was gonna be a lot of work to be done between that milestone and the next few months. And I think we were probably a little bit overzealous with trying to, you know, get a lot of new information and a lot of new analysis done. But we are planning on having that in the next couple of weeks. So if you wouldn't mind, I guess I'll go ahead. So tonight I wanted to talk about, oh, this will work. Thanks. Thank you there. So tonight on the agenda, wanted to talk about a recap of that TSP milestone meeting that we had. We're also currently in the works for planning a public meeting as well as a public review period of the draft feasibility report. And then we're gonna do some additional hydraulic modeling. And so we presented to the Stormwater Commission last week, and we were able to talk with them and kind of get their seal of approval on our H&H baseline moving forward. Then I wanted to talk with you guys very briefly about the LPP or the locally preferred plan. And then some of the other items wanted to touch on are the floodproofing survey as well as the Lake Sherwood Dam question that we did receive. So going back to the TSP milestone meeting, you guys might remember that we had the TSP. The TSP selected was fully non-structural. And so that included elevations as well as floodproofing. Those structures, there were about 500 of those structures, and that was in the 25-year storm event. And a couple of the other items, so that we did recall that there were no acquisitions that were part of that original, that were part of that TSP. We are still in the process of doing some analysis, and so those are different aggregations. And so what we're trying to do is, use the best analysis that we can to get the highest net benefits. Which is how we base our decision on which project we move forward with. Of course, there's always the LPP option, which we'll get to in a second. Again, you guys have seen this slide before, or something similar to this slide before. So unless anybody has any questions on it, I'll go ahead and move on to the next slide. So as you guys remember, detention basins were also a very big topic of discussion. While those didn't make it into the TSP as we performed it before, we knew that in the next couple of levels of analysis and iterations of analysis, we could eventually add detention basins back in, and it could actually be the TSP moving forward. We have not been able to determine that yet. We are hoping to get that economic analysis done in the next 2 weeks before we go out for public review of the document and before we have the public meeting to share with the public what our report looks like. Switch pages, sorry. As you guys also probably recall, the Detention Basin 3 was in the city limits of University City, but Detention Basin 4 was not. It was in the city of Overland. Detention Basin 4 yielded the highest net benefits of the two detention basins. A lot of that has to do with the relocation costs of having to relocate all the businesses that are in the area of Detention Basin 3. So we are still moving forward with looking analyzing a little bit further to try to figure out whether or not we can add those two detention basins in as part of our NED plan, as part of our TSP, or if in fact we need to move forward with an LPP, the locally preferred plan, which the city may prefer to do. A couple of other items that are on the bottom of that slide. We also talked a little bit about life safety risks. So obviously if you have a detention basin, you increase your life safety risk just as you would with levees and flood walls. So that's something that we need to take into account a little bit as well. And then also recreation features. So there are opportunities for adding recreational features into whatever plan we move forward with, just to keep that on your radar as well. So we are in the process of planning a public meeting. We're working very closely with CNON to plan a public meeting. We have it okayed, I believe, to have it at Heman Park Community Center on the 26th of this month. So the plan is to have kind of a very short PowerPoint presentation to share with the public what the TSP is and what the report really looks like. Now, there will be a lot of asterisks, a lot of caveats written into the report as well as into the presentation for the public, basically saying while this may be the TSP, it might be, just floodproofing, there are a lot of what ifs and that could change. And so we're going to make sure we make that abundantly clear to the public that there are options other than the ones we're presenting as the TSP at that time. So following opening remarks by somebody from the city, we would then share the presentation, a very short presentation. We will record that presentation and we will post that online. We also plan on Facebook living it. And we were talking with CNON also about YouTube living the meeting as well, just so that we get, a lot of participation from the public and a lot of interest from the public. After the presentation, we'll do a Q&A session. So maybe a half hour to an hour, depending on how many members of the public are there. And then following the meeting, we're actually going to have 30 days of public comment that will follow our NEPA compliance and make sure that we really open it up to the public. They'll be able to email us, email you guys, and email CNON, of course. And then we'll move forward there after we receive all that public comment, go through it, incorporate it, and that kind of stuff. Finally, we are working on a news release, and CNON and I have been going back and forth, adding a few additional items to that public release. We should have that available probably tomorrow in its final form. And so CNON, I'll get that to you. And I know that there were several council members who were eager to maybe share that with the public very soon and potentially walk it door to door. So I think that's a great idea to get the public optimally engaged. In addition to the news release, we'll also have an FAQ sheet. Some questions that we've thought up ahead of time, we'll have that document ready for the public at the public meeting. Finally, the draft report. So on the 26th of July, we will also be officially releasing the draft report for what we call concurrent reviews. And so what that means is we take it to our ATR team, our agency technical review team. It's people outside of the St. Louis district who will look at our report and see if our methodologies and everything were correct. It's also our vertical team. So all of our division and our headquarters will also start looking at the report. And then, of course, the public will also look at the report as well. Before that, we do plan on having the report to the city council and to the commission a week before we go out for public release. So it'll be a week before. And I know a week is a pretty quick turnaround, but just with how fast everything is moving, I don't know that we could get it ready any faster. Currently, the report is under review, what we call district quality control. It's those who are, it's internal to our district, it's being reviewed. So we should have that to you in the next week or so for you all to review before it goes out to the public. Any questions on that? Okay. So the study schedule, I know you guys have also seen this before. So the green things are things that have already been accomplished. The yellow are upcoming. And so, of course, we know that that date could be updated to July 26th for both draft report release to the public as well as the public meeting. We may have to push the ADM, the agency decision milestone, which is our overall agency concurrence of an approval of the report and the study. We may have to push that to sometime early in calendar year 22, sorry. If an LPP is the plan that we move forward with, which it could very well be. So we were able to talk with the Stormwater Commission last week. It was a very productive meeting, in my opinion. We had our H&H engineer there, and we're talking with several of the council members there. And so what we basically were trying to do was say, okay, do we have concurrence to move forward with the model as it stands now? Because of course, everything is based on that model, right? So the economics are based on that model. That is the existing conditions, and then the future conditions, that's what that model is doing. So we kind of wanted the pencils down. Are we good with this? And we did get that concurrence from the commission. It was very helpful to answer questions and to get everybody's feedback. We were able to incorporate the 2008 high water marks. And so that was something very positive that came out of that additional analysis and configuration calibration of the model. That is it on that one. So yeah, further refinement of the TSP. As I was stating earlier, so now that we kind of have the pencils down on the H&H, now we can move forward and our economists can work on trying to really, look at all of the different aggregations, look at all of the different, okay, is it the 5 year, is it the 10 year, the 25 year? Okay, if we have detention basins, then we probably don't need as much flood proofing, those kinds of things, and really trying to come up with the best net, the highest net benefits that we can come up with. So that's what our economist is going to be doing for the next 2 weeks prior to public release of the document. Let me just look through this 1 second. I think that's it. Do you guys have any questions on that particular slide? Okay. And finally, coordination with the City of Overland about DB4. So we met with the City of Overland last week. It was a very good meeting. We talked to them about kind of what the footprint of DB4 would look like, what it would do to the dog park and some of the surrounding properties. And there was a couple of homework assignments that we each had to do. So one of the things that they have to do is really, before they can figure out whether they want to move forward with some kind of detention basin option, they have to figure out whether they can first legally. So apparently there's some sort of an interagency agreement between them and the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, for that property. And so they have to make sure that they're legally able to do something with that property, that there's no sort of deed restrictions or anything on it. So once they find that information out, then it'll just be a matter of whether or not their city council has, the desire to move forward. If there's a relocation area that could potentially be used for the dog park and for some of the other facilities that they have in that area. So that's a little bit of work that they're going to do and get back with us. Obviously, if that's something that their city council has absolutely no interest in at all, then that's something that we have to screen from our, from the project moving forward, which is fine. We can still move forward with potentially Detention Basin 3. So it doesn't screen that necessarily. So make sure I have everything covered here. And we also tried to, in our conversation with Overland, give them the advantages that it would do for them if this were to, you know, take place. And some of those are in that middle section. So the benefits of DB4 to Overland, reduced flooding in that area. Apparently they have a little bit of problems with standing water in that dog park area. So that was something that we told them, well, you wouldn't have standing water there because you wouldn't have a dog park there. We relocate it. And that would not necessarily be at any cost to them. You know, there are ways that if there's public facilities, that there's no necessarily charge for relocating those public facilities. So there's some different things that we, from a real estate perspective, are also looking into, and we'll report back to you guys and to them as well. In terms of the LPP, so the locally preferred plan, we are working to get, like I said, that analysis done by the end of July, early August, so that we can say for sure what our TSP is, and that so then you guys can decide if you want to go with that plan or if instead you'd rather go with the LPP, the locally preferred plan. So we're hoping to potentially be on your agenda in August. I don't know if you have one meeting in August or two, but that the first meeting in August would probably be an ideal time frame for us to come back and look to get, you know, some sort of opinion from you all, the city council, on whether or not you want to move forward either way. After that, we also then start our process, and an LPP isn't guaranteed from the Army Corps side, but what we've been told after preliminarily talking to some of our vertical team members is that if you have a plan that is the NED plan that has the highest net benefits, there is a federal interest there. That's the major checkbox for getting an approval of an LPP from our Assistant Secretary of the Army for Civil Works. So it has to go all the way up our food chain, but there's a pretty good indication that it would be approved. So I think that's pretty positive. So a few other items, the floodproofing survey. I know that we've been working with the city on the floodproofing survey. We were able to get a few comments, a few revisions made, and I think it looks pretty good. That will hopefully give us a good indication of how many folks would actually voluntarily participate if their property was going to be floodproofed or elevated. So that's good. And we're hoping that, you know, if we go to release that, we can get responses sometime in that mid-October, which will be when our ADM could potentially be, if it's not pushed due to the LPP process. One of the other questions that we received was about the Lake Sherwood Dam. And, you know, we did a little bit of research on our end to try to figure out whether or not we could incorporate something about the analysis of the dam break, like a dam break scenario, dam breach analysis. And there is a potential that we could incorporate if there is an interest from the city council to move forward with doing something like that, some sort of analysis like that. We could do that. It is a private lake, and so therefore it's a little, we definitely need permission and we need folks who are interested in doing that. And we also, that would have to be an additional funding to what we've already received. So that would also have to come from you guys if you wanted us to do that kind of analysis. Questions? Discussion. Sorry, I went through that really fast.
And Matt, what we'll normally do is if someone has their light will come on, I'll recognize them, and then they'll make their questions normally either directly to you or to the city manager.
Okay.
Sure. I believe that Mr. Smotherson was first.
Thank you, Mayor Crowell. Mr. Jones, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. The question that I have and what really concerns me about this plan is specifically about Detention Basin 3. And I know that that's not necessarily in the primary part of the plan, but could be brought back in.
Sure.
Why was that site chosen? And I've got some other comments and questions with that, but
sure.
I'm just trying to understand why that site was chosen.
Sure. So from my understanding, our engineer looked for the spots that were hydraulically optimal, their relationship to the River de Pere, you know, where water could easily flow in, flow out, and where there was kind of an open area for that water to go. And so I think that's kind of why there were, I think, five or six sites that were originally, you know, looked at or kind of thrown at the wall and saw what would stick. And those were the two that were just the best from an engineering perspective.
Okay.
It's not necessarily from a people perspective. So right. I do understand your concern.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Definitely. And, sure. and the reason I ask that question is because, you know, it's interesting that that site is directly across the street from the area where we are having a problem, because it's, you know, the Hafner Court apartments have been a problem and have been flooding. And at one given point in time, there was supposed to be a detention basin developed for that area to remove those apartments.
Sure.
So again, so I find it interesting. I can't even imagine that this council would even agree with having that area designated as detention base 3, simply because it's a primary commercial area with potential that, I mean, you know, with commercial potential that I don't think we want to lose. And so that's why I'm really surprised that you guys, that hasn't been explained to you, because here we are with a second presentation and you're still showing us detention base 3.
Sure.
So that concerns me a great deal, because again, you're talking about removing or moving Asian businesses, but again, across the street, you have apartments that are an issue that flood. You have a bank that's probably only a third full because they don't even use most of that bank, because that used to be their training facility and it's no longer that for years. You have an empty Payless building on the corner. And of course, the Olive Market's there.
Sure.
That Olive Market and bank could literally be moved across the street. So you see what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
Why are we choosing that area and why are we sticking to that? And I'm hoping that changes, because I can't imagine that we would allow that to become a detention base.
Sure.
And that's my question, so.
Okay. Yeah, I can definitely reach back out to our team and I can get you a more direct answer to that question.
Sure.
Since I don't have it, I'm sorry.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I believe Mr. Cusick was next.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I've got a couple of questions for you, Matt, and then I've got one for Mr. Rose. Matt, in terms of the public meeting that's going to be held on July 26th, I see that you have an FAQ sheet that's going to be prepared to be released. Many of our residents are going to just want to know how any of this is going to prevent them from getting flooded. So what is all of this science and all these graphs and all these charts and all these percents and all these risks and all these studies, how is it going to help our residents? What's the bottom line to help keep our residents safe?
Sure. I mean, we can make sure that when we have those, when we're preparing that FAQ sheet, that we definitely get input from CNON and from several of you all as well, just so that we're making sure that we cover our basis in that FAQ sheet, and that we are sharing that information to the public.
And then one of my concerns is the report that will be released. You said that the TSP report is to be released the 26th.
Correct.
But we will have that about a week before.
Correct.
And I guess this is also a question for Mr. Rose, that once we have this report, will we be able to vet this report through the Commission on Stormwater Issues? And what would be the steps for that? Because if we're only going to have this report for a week, that puts us on the following Monday, and the Commission on Stormwater Issues does not meet until the following Tuesday. So they wouldn't really have much of a chance to go over the report and discuss it in their meeting. So what could you suggest about that?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, it certainly is a very tight time frame. I think that one of the advantages that we have now with technology is that we can have a Zoom meeting pretty much anytime. And so we'll have to go through the normal process for notifying the public of that meeting. But I would imagine that the Public Works Director, Sinan Alpasan, will be able to put something together. The real challenge, though, will be providing enough time to thoroughly review the report before they need to advance the project. So we'll do everything that we can to put that meeting together for you.
Okay, good. Thank you. And then, Matt, define for me or give me an idea of what the process would be after the tentatively selected report has been issued and we want to look at a locally preferred plan. What would that process be? Who would draw that up and just how would that plan come about?
Yeah, so the way that I envision it would be, you know, the council deciding that you guys want to go with an LPP, and so I would assume that would need to be some sort of formal motion, you know, formal approval from the council, and they would probably rely heavily on the commission for an opinion on that as well. But then we have our own process of requesting that, so we have lots of paperwork, lots of bureaucracy that we go through. To get that routed, you know, up the chain. So that would go to our division. Then we have to route it there to headquarters and to the ASA's office. So there's a whole beast on our side that we have to do. But I think from your all's perspective, it would just be needing to approve that you do want to go with the LPP. In order to make that decision, I think what you need from us is you need to see what the cost difference is, right? So you need to know, okay, well, this is the NED plan. So this is the one that technically we would go with. This is how much it would cost. And then you need to know what the LPP would cost. And so that's a conversation that you guys are going to have, you know, amongst the council. Do you want to go with a detention basin 3? Do you not? Do you want to go with, you know, only elevation of structures and not with any floodproofing? Do you, those kinds of questions are things that I think you need to know from us before you can make a decision. And I realize that. But I think those are the factors that would go into your decision.
And then if we did an LPP, what is the time frame for that in terms of if you need the LPP approved, or we only have 1 week after the 26th, which pushes about August 2nd or 3rd, then how much time do we have as a council and working with our Stormwater Commission to actually come up with a viable LPP? Because it's not really something that we just have sitting on the shelf that we can pull out. So
sure.
What are we talking about in terms of time, and how much time do we have in that? And when do you need that to be able to vet that in your various departments?
Yeah, sure. I was going to go back to this slide really quick that had our time frame on it. So as you can see, the ADM is the agency decision milestone is currently scheduled for around that October, November, early December frame. We built in some contingency into the schedule. I would say that's, and if there's an LPP that is decided, then that would get pushed to early 22, right? So February of 22. So we do have some time. I don't think we don't have to rush into it. We have a couple of months that we can work on that before, you know, and go through the various meetings that we have to go through with, you know, with you all, with the commission. And then, of course, I anticipate our vertical team also wanting another meeting, us with them, probably another in progress review, just to let them know, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what our sponsor wants us to do. And this is what we're working on. So I don't think that it has to be rushed, you know, in the next 3 weeks. Like, I don't think a decision has to be made from you all in the next 3 weeks. And I apologize if that's the way it came off. I think we do have a little bit of time to spare to make sure that we're crossing all our T's and dotting the I's. So I would say, you know, we were looking at that August timeframe of potentially being on an agenda again for kind of a decision, or at least an almost a decision. If that needs to be later in August or maybe, you know, early September, I think that's doable as well.
So let me draw out the scenario. We receive the tentatively selected plan. We mull over that. And then at our first meeting in August, which I believe is about the August the 10th, something like that, which is our only meeting in August, we can make a decision during that meeting that we do like this plan or know that we want to go with an LPP. And that if we did that, we would have time to be able to work on that. And you would need to have that information by when?
I don't know that I have an answer for you on that. I can get back to you on that, though. I would say, so you only have one meeting in August. I would say by then I would hope to have an LPP option, at least for you all to consider. You know, I don't know that it would necessarily take another month to come up with an LPP. I mean, I think we kind of know what the options are right now, which is a detention basin or not. And of course, if the city of Overland, if that all works out, then that kind of plays into the mix of the time frame too. So it's a gray area. I can get back with you on kind of really marking out that timeline and getting that solidified on paper for you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I believe Ms. Klein was next.
Yeah, I just thank you for your presentation. And I had a question about, so if it seems to me that we wouldn't be able to make a decision on the TSP until we get the feedback on how many residents are willing to participate in that. And that's, if I'm understanding correctly, that's October. So I mean, what percentage of residents would need to participate in this for this to be the most cost-effective choice?
Right. So our economist does build in hypotheticals into his analysis. So he'll build in not the literal participation, like, you know, the public saying yes, I'll do it, or no, I won't. Mm-hmm. But just he'll say, okay, this is what the NED plan looks like at 25% participation and 50% participation and 75% participation. So he'll have those numbers for you all, and those will also be in the report as well.
But those numbers wouldn't be available until October.
Right, until the survey results. And that's, again, assuming that the public takes it. You know, once the survey that you guys are sending out, it's assuming that they take it and get it back, you know. But yeah, it's a whole lot of gray area in that kind of sense. But yeah, I agree that taking that participation into account will directly impact the NED plan. But I think that's just something that we go forward with those different assumptions. And then again, if we don't have the ADM until November or later, then I think there's still plenty of time in there to make sure we incorporate that public feedback. And for our NEPA process, we document the public input as well. And all the public comments that we receive, you know, go into the report and an appendix, and there's all kinds of different NEPA requirements that our folks do in terms of public comment.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Real quickly, Mr. Clay, Mr. Rose would like to respond.
I don't know, Mayor, I just had a clarification issue. I think that based upon Councilmember Cusick's question, there was perhaps some confusion. I want to ensure that there is understanding that the city does not have the ability to create its own locally preferred option. Or I guess if we can, what I'm used to though is that typically the Army Corps of Engineers provides you with alternative options that they may not recommend, but they believe are acceptable. That's maybe different than us creating our own. So I would ask for that clarification.
I would agree with that, sir, yeah.
So the second, if I could indulge for just a second, the second issue that I had was how you are now calculating the economic benefit. Whether you are including the benefits that would be derived from cities downstream. So not just within University City, but if you look at detention bases, then that has a greater benefit than just to us. And is that calculated as a part of the total economic benefit that's going to be derived?
So I would have to get back with you on the very specific answer. Off the top of my head, I would say that, for example, there are a couple of structures on that included in that 500 structures for the floodproofing that are within those city limits of the city of Overland, for example. So those are calculated in the benefits, even if the city doesn't participate, we would have to remove those from the total list, which would impact the benefits.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking more of the St. Louis city and the benefits that would be derived if you have detention basins in this area.
Sure. Let me do some research and I can get back with you on that if you don't mind, sir.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow, and thank you, Mr. Jones, for the presentation. I really want to reiterate Councilmember Cusick's point about the accessibility of this information as we ramp up towards the 26 to the average UCityan. I'll be very candid. Every time we have one of these presentations, I need to go back to the previous presentations and try to put it all together. And I'll be honest with you, I think this is the first presentation it really kind of crystallized and congealed, and we've been doing this for over a year, so I'm just getting it. I'm thinking of a resident who is, all they know is there's some risk of flooding for them, and they come to this meeting. This is heady stuff, and ordinarily we rely on our boards and commissions as our barometer of kind of citizen knowledge. But I think in the case of the Stormwater Commission, those folks have been so entrenched, so saturated in this, if you will, that I don't know if they're the best barometer because they know all this stuff. And so I'm almost wondering, is there a mechanism by which, and I'm just kind of spitballing here, we can get information to those who aren't initiated? Because I'm imagining folks coming into this meeting and looking back at all the presentations, from your perspective, they're very thorough. And from mine, if this is my first meeting, there's no way. There's no way I can access this.
Sure. If you don't mind me responding. So I agree. I would say the timing of the public meeting, it has come up in conversation between us and CNON and trying to pick the very best time. Ultimately, I think CNON going to be out of town. One of our, Janet was going to be out of town for like certain periods in August. And so what we decided to go a little bit earlier with the public meeting, you know, really like at the very beginning, and try to get it out there and then just extend that public comment period, you know, 30 days after that. I mean, we could go 60 days. Just to make sure that the citizens that come, you know, are able to see the presentation, see the documents, and then get back with us if they want to.
And I don't want to suggest something that would injure the timeline of adopting the plan or anything like sure. that, but, you know, public input is only valuable if the public truly understands what they are providing input on.
Absolutely.
And so that is my concern, again, as I just come to terms with really understanding what we're attempting to do here.
Sure. And I would say I've been part of a couple of public meetings so far. A lot of them were on the Lower Merrimack. And I think we did a good job of presenting to our audience. And so if our audience is, you know, the Stormwater Commission, we can be a little bit more technical than if we can, you know, be a little bit less technical with the public and really just make the public understand what we're doing. I think that's definitely one of our priorities.
Matt, if I could ask just a couple of questions here myself. First off, I would agree with my colleague, Mr. Clay, that I think it's a delicate balance between the engineers that we have on our stormwater task force, and then there's a little bit of a gap there probably to many of our citizens. And so I know we want the benefit of the stormwater task force, but we're also going to need to have a message that is pretty cogent and clear to our citizens. I have one that's just maybe I'm just scratching my head a bit. Maybe I'm a little slow on the uptake, but if we're sitting here on July the 12th and you're having a meeting on the 26th, and you say you're going to get it to us a week before, and then you said you're going to get it to us in the next couple of weeks, I'm kind of figuring there's no gap there. So either, and by the way, I'm not upset about it. I'm just trying to figure this out.
Sure.
We're sitting here on the 12th, and the meeting's on the 26th, and you're getting it to us a week in advance. That means you're getting it to us at the latest by next Monday.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, so that's number one.
That's what the team is hoping to do. Yes.
Okay. So that's number one. Number two is, I guess, to the city manager. I mean, I think we all recognize that we would love to have a public meeting, but we also recognize that we may have a rising COVID number coming up. And I think we've got to balance that issue.
And then the second part of that, I'm going to say, as I think some of you may know, but I know the city manager is well aware, is once you open up Heman Park Community Center for one meeting, you're going to have an awful lot more requests for it for other things as well. And we have not had that building open to the public yet. So once we do that, we're sort of opening a door, which, again, with the COVID numbers, that's a little bit, I think, something that we may want to pay attention to. And then the next question I have, which maybe is just because I've been on council too long, but everything we're talking about tonight still comes back to when Wayne and I know we're on council. I'm not sure if Stacy or Steve was, but when we had the meeting and we were talking about whether or not we were going to put the retention basin in the park underneath the softball field with pumps, and whether it was going to go further north. And so after we've boiled all of this down, we've come down to several years later, really two options, not necessarily two options, but we'll call it the Overland option and the U City option. So the only U City option right now for a retention basin is the one on Olive. Now, I agree with Mr. Smotherson that maybe across the street looks a little bit better than on the south side, but that's really what we boiled that down to. Am I correct?
Yes, okay. Currently.
All right. All right. And then the last one is, this again is just, how did Lake Sherwood ever become a part of this conversation? I'm just kind of, and it's not that important if you don't know the answer, but, and if you don't, Matt, I know Mr. Kusick has his hand raised. So I don't know if you don't want to take a stab at it, I'm happy for my colleague to answer my question. Sure. That may be the best move for you to make.
Sure. I defer to the councilman.
Mr. Kusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. The Lake Sherwood was brought up to the attention of the Commission on Stormwater Issues because of the nature of where Lake Sherwood is and its runoff. It does run into some of the tributaries that could eventually make their way into University City. And if there were a dam failure of Lake Sherwood, it could definitely impact and flood parts of University City. So this Commission on Stormwater Issues looked at Lake Sherwood and contacted the people that own Lake Sherwood and the subdivision trustees and asked to take a look at it because, again, some of the dams in the Missouri Department of Natural Resources showed that the dam there was unsafe. And actually, Mr. Holly is sitting in the audience, and if he wanted to add anything, he certainly is welcome to. But their concern was that if there was a dam failure, where would all this water go? And it would end up in University City. Okay. So that's how this came about.
Thank you. I appreciate the answer, and he probably had a better idea on that one, maybe Matt, than you on that one, probably.
Oh, I agree.
I think Mr. Smotherson has his light on.
Yes, sir. Mayor Crow, thank you. Just a quick question, and I may have missed this, but does Overland have a hard deadline?
So they're working this week to ask DNR about their arrangement. That's really the first major question. So they told us that they would reach out to DNR this week, and that they would also kind of, I think they had a city council meeting this week as well. I think they had a city council meeting, and they were talking about mentioning it to the city council just so that it's on their radar that the question is coming. So,
well, but is there a deadline? You know, just mentioning it means
that
they may
I don't think that we came to an absolute hard deadline for them. Yet. It was, the first step, of course, was DNR getting there, whether or not it's even legal to do so.
Right. And the thing, and the reason I ask that question is because their determination makes it, you know, gives us an option to understand that the detention basin for three is important. And I agree with that, just not the location, because I think it needs to go across the street. But I think that would work, because it would really work for that area, because it doesn't just affect that Olive location. You have to also remember that we have flooding, and Councilman McKusick knows as well, with the Stormwater Task Force, they flood on Briar Court, which is right behind Hafner Court Apartments. So with a detention basin there, you're going to affect that whole area in reference to flooding.
Sure.
Mr. Kusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. If I can, Matt, if you could elaborate, it's my understanding that the detention basins that are being proposed, they go hand in hand, that one is not effective, that we actually would need both of them for the idea of the detention basins to work. Is that correct?
I think that for the ultimate risk reduction, the highest level of risk reduction, both of them would be necessary. I do believe that they can be exclusive. I think you can have one or the other, but ultimately both of them provide the highest level of risk reduction. But I can get with Joel on that just to get that clarified for you.
Thank you.
Other questions from members of council, either of Mr. Jones or anyone else? Hearing none. Matt, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We appreciate it. You're welcome.
I was going to also say, if you guys do decide that you don't want to have the public meeting in person, that's totally fine with us. I know the cases are rising and different things, so that's fine. We were planning on having a virtual component, so like a WebEx component as well, with the Facebook Live and the YouTube Live. We can adjust our messaging and how we do it. You guys just, you know, let maybe Sinan know, and then he can get with us and we'll adjust. So.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you.
To the members of council, we will adjourn the study session and pick up the regular session at 6:30. Thank you.